Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Sunday morning Sunday school lesson. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Good morning. I have in my hand a King James Bible. Oh, praise the Lord. Good to be here this morning. Good to be alive. Good to be awake. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. So isn't this a good day to worship Him? Somebody say amen. got another email from someone. And I'm always trying to be nice about it. I really am. I like being Mr. Nice Guy. I don't like being Mr. Mean Guy. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But they're asking us how come we don't keep the Sabbath. And I'll respond that, number one, how does he know I didn't? Okay. And number two, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. We will be glad and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And this is a good start to the week. Amen. Good start to the week. Now, I will admit, I had to work yesterday. It was a job. Okay? It was a lot of fun. Had a good time yesterday. But anyway, I'm pretty sure I'm going to take this Saturday off and not work. Okay? But anyway, in fact, that is addressed in the text. I don't know if we'll get to it today or not. In Acts chapter 21, let me read this very quickly. Turn your Bible to Acts 21:25. I love people, I really do, and I don't want to get into some big argument with somebody over the Bible. I'm not going to let anybody push me around over it. But I believe the Scriptures. The Scriptures are always right and we're not. Amen? And if you want to stay at home on Saturday and not work, then praise the Lord. Keep the Sabbath. Because that's how you do it. You don't work. But anyway, there's a lot of people running around and the same stuff has been going on for 2,000 years now. Jews are jealous of the Gentiles. Okay, Jews are jealous. Esau was jealous of Jacob. Okay, Esau was jealous of Jacob. You need to understand Esau. Esau had spent his life sucking up to daddy, and over that inheritance deal, and he's full of pride. And here Jacob just comes in and gets it, and that tends to make sense. It's sort of like if you spent 30 years on the job working your rear end off, trying to get ahead, and some young guy comes in and gets the promotion ahead of you. Amen. And but anyway, that's kind of what's going on. And there are those who choose to follow the law, and I don't condemn them for that, but the law will condemn them. Okay? The law will condemn you. And the law is good, but the law is really not your best friend in the whole world. Okay? Because you don't keep the law the way you say you do. And anyway, you just have to forgive me today. My head's tired this morning. Okay? My head is tired this morning, and it's just one of those days. I just need your prayers today, all right? But anyway, people who keep the law and obey the law and have pride in the law, they don't like the fact that Jesus saves without the law, okay? And so in Acts chapter 21, verse 25, the Bible says, this is the Apostle Paul, and it says, as touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded. You know what the word concluded means? That means we're done with this. Okay? We've already reached our conclusion. And the gavel has come down and we've said it, and this is it. We're not going to argue about it anymore. Okay? We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. You underline that in your Bible. Okay? And they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood. And by the way, I'm on a rabbit trail, and somebody brought it to my attention. I had not really thought about it. When we went to Kenya, all these restaurants over in Kenya have a big certificate on their wall or their door that says halal certification. You don't know what that means. That means that their restaurant and their place, their eating establishment, has been approved by a Muslim cleric as being clean for Muslims to eat in. Okay? Now, and I just thought that was interesting. That you see that all over the place in Kenya. And now halal certification is coming to America. And it's sort of like the Jewish law, sort of like kosher laws is what it is. But here's the difference, and I'm still researching this, and somebody brought it to my attention. I think it's very interesting. When if a certain food has a halal certification on it, that means a Muslim cleric, let's say it was meat, let's say it was sheep or goat or cow or whatever, when that cow was slaughtered. That cow was slaughtered, and that Muslim cleric is facing the idol at Mecca. Okay, he is facing towards Mecca, and there's an idol in Mecca. And Muslims really pat themselves on the back and say they're not idol worshippers, but they have one big gigantic idol in Mecca called the Kaaba. They all worship that thing, and they kiss it, and they swirl around it and everything. That's an idol. Amen. Anything that's a stand-in for God's an idol. And they face that thing. And they say these little magic words, there's no God but Allah. Okay, and I don't know what it is and is in Arabic. But I'll say this, it looks like to me, from what I can see so far, that any food that is certified as halal food, don't eat it. It looks to me like it's been offered to an idol. Okay? So, you know what? It just makes me mad. So don't buy that junk. Okay, man, if it's got, I don't care if it's Nabisco or Aunt Jemima, I don't care who it is. If they put a sticker on there saying it's halal certified, don't buy it. Amen?
Amen.
Don't buy it. Okay? Anyway, keep themselves from things offered to idols and from blood. That means don't read vampire books. Okay? Don't read vampire books. From blood and from strangled and from fornication. That means don't read dirty books either. Amen? Okay? Stay away from that stuff. But anyway, those are the four commandments. Those are the four things that the apostles told the Gentiles. Okay? They had a meeting. We've been over this before. They had a meeting and they said, brethren, why are we trying to make the Gentiles keep a law that we ourselves couldn't keep? Okay? Why are we trying to say to them that they're not saved if they're not circumcised? Why are we trying to say to them that they're not saved if they didn't keep the law? Of course they didn't keep the law. Somebody wrote me an email this weekend, and I could detect in their voice that they were crying over this deal because they had been told that if they keep working on Saturday that they're not going to be saved. And whoever was writing it to me was saying, I'm trying to get off. Please, Pastor Mike, help me with this deal. And I wrote them back and I said, of course you can't keep the law. That's why Christ died for you in your place. And I said, if you can't keep the law and Christ died for you anyway, he's not going to take away your salvation because you can't keep the law.
Amen.
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 Now, I lost some sleep last night. That makes me just a little cranky. But I love you. Amen. I wanted to do a couple things this morning. I want to move on from Acts chapter 20 and the wolves in sheep's clothing. But I wanted to just kind of ask you this morning if you had any comments or questions concerning the marks of a wolf in sheep's clothing, concerning the marks of a false prophet or a false teacher or a false preacher or anything like that. If you had any questions or comments or you had a you know, somebody that you suspect is a wolf or whatever it is. If you wanted to continue that discussion this morning, I will let you. If not, we're going to move on. Does anybody have any comments or anything like that? And probably there's somebody out on the internet going, raising their hand. And, okay. I can't help you there. Maybe we'll set up a big screen on the back, you know, with listener comment. I may not want to know what everybody's thinking. So, no, we don't do that. I don't want to know what everybody's sitting here thinking every time I preach. And so, anyway, and if you're sitting behind a computer monitor, you're a lot bolder than you are sitting in church. Amen. You'll say things. But does anybody have any comments on wolves in sheep's clothing or the marks or the signs of a wolf in sheep's clothing? Yes, Gary. Exactly.
They have to change their doctrine, make their doctrine true. They have to change the word of God.
That's the biggest point right there, is that when you accept, let me put it this way. Okay, we got some guys who've been in construction. We kind of know a little bit how things go. In construction, there are standards. Okay, there are standards of how things are to be done. And there are codes that must be followed. They vary, but generally there's codes that must be followed. And let's apply it to the area of concrete. You know anything about concrete?
A little bit.
Okay, a little bit about concrete. You know that if the concrete company, if the contractor orders the concrete too wet, is that a problem? Okay, why is that a problem if the concrete's too wet? Number one, he's substituting cement, Portland cement and aggregate and everything, he's substituting that for water. Okay? Water is real good at dissolving, but it's not good at holding things together. Okay? And when you substitute water in a concrete mix for concrete, you're saving money on concrete because water is cheaper than cement. Okay? So the motivation, you always look at the motive. Why are you doing this? Okay, it's greed, it's money. Okay, that how many of you remember it in Kansas City? About 30 years ago, that walkway collapsed and killed all those people in that hotel. You remember that? You was there.
After it happened, yeah.
Okay, what was the verdict on that, Wayne?
Bolts. The contractor had substituted bolts. Had something to do with the bolts.
Contractor had substituted something in order to save money. Is that correct? There was a standard he should have followed. The engineers had it worked out. This is what will hold all these people up. And the contractor did not go by that agreement. He changed it in order to save money, to make money. And all the blood of those people is on his hands. Okay? Was he ever prosecuted for that? I hope so. Okay? But see, that's what happens. Okay? When there's a standard, there's a reason why there is a standard. Okay? There's a reason why there's a standard in construction. There's a reason why there's a standard in medicine. How many of you want your pharmacist to reinvent the wheel? Okay? Wasn't it a deal here in this area where some doctor, some pharmacist or something like that was like cancer drugs or something like that. He was diluting them down to save money. And people were dying. You remember that? See, there was a standard set. And he was a wolf in sheep's clothing. He looked like a pharmacist. He looked like somebody you could trust. Had a little pen there, you know, and he was, you know, he looked like a pharmacist. And people were counting on him with their life. Okay? And he was taking their drugs that was going to save their life and prolong their life and make things better. And cutting it down so he could make more money. And people died as a result of it. So we want standards in construction. Amen? We want standards of pure water. Amen? You just go to another country. You'll find out. Okay? It doesn't take rocket scientists to figure out. We want standards in water. We want standards in building. We want standards in medicine. We want standards in pharmaceuticals. We want standards in every place of life. There's a speed limit sign within a close proximity of your home. Amen? And who has the right to change that sign? You don't. Just by driving down the road, you don't have a right to say, you know what? I don't have anything to do with that. You do not have a right to change that standard. And a wolf in sheep's clothing, well, that's what they'll always do. And I want to tell you something. This is the standard right here of our faith, of our practice, of our belief. This is the medicine that's going to cure our diseases. And your biggest disease is not cancer. Your biggest disease is not back pain. Your biggest disease is sin. And this book right here is going to cure that disease. Amen? It cured my dad. Amen? It worked. I'm telling you, it works. Okay? But when they start, the number one sign of a false prophet is that they're going to change something out of this book. And they're going to do it for a reason. And it's not a godly reason. Okay? I've been on the other side of this thing, and I just know how it works. Okay? God allowed me to drift for a time in my life. He allowed me to drift. God could have stopped it. God could have kept me. He did keep me from going too far. Praise the Lord. But I know how it works, and I know the motivation behind it. Okay? And when you change the standard of this book, I suspect that there is a reason behind it. Okay? I will judge your motives by your actions. Okay? But if you come to me and say, I ran to these people out in Kenya, we had a good time out there, and these people didn't quite agree with me. And when they would raise up a question concerning the things I was teaching, they said, Pastor Mike, doesn't the Scripture say so-and-so? And they'd quote the Scripture. And I want to tell you what, there was a wonderful spirit there. You know why? Because both of us were just dirtbag, rotten sinners made out of dirt that see through a glass darkly. But we go to the standard of the Scriptures and say, the standard of the Scriptures tells us what to do. Okay? Now, I ran into another group out there that didn't care what the Bible said. They had feelings and emotions and experiences and dreams and visions that told them how to conduct their church services. So they put a woman up as a pastor of a church that's unbiblical. You change the standard when you do that. Okay? And so we're just going to stick to the standard right here, the Word of God. Amen? And if the Bible ever said to us as a church, you're not allowed to meet on any other day of the week other than Saturday for your church service, we would be here 9:45 Saturday morning. If that's what this book said. But that is not what it says. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? That's the marks of a wolf in sheep's clothing. You don't change the Bible. All right. Now let's look in Acts chapter 21. And let's start at verse 1. He's going to give a little history here of kind of how things have progressed. All right. This is Paul's journeys. Okay. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Coos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara. And finding a ship setting over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. And when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed unto Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was unlaid, was to unlade her burden. Finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now Paul that's exactly where he's headed. He's wanting to go to Jerusalem. And this is interesting, that when this thing started out in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, Jerusalem was where everything started. Okay? But now, a few years down the road, and now it's dangerous to be a Christian in Jerusalem. Okay? It's dangerous to be a Christian in Jerusalem. So anyway, he's with the brethren, and they're telling Paul not to go, that he should not go to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren and abode with them 1 day. The next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy? Now, I will stop right here because that has been a question. And that was one of the questions asked of me out in Kitale by some good believers who had questions concerning what I was teaching. I stand by the scriptures and say that a woman is not to be the bishop over a church. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
She is not to be the bishop over church. You can call me a church Nazi if you want to, or I don't know. I don't know. In fact, I get called a lot of names. But anyway, you can call me anyone you want to, but you cannot get around the barrier of the scripture. And I was asked that. They said, "Are you saying that a woman cannot pastor a church?" And I said, "No. The Bible is. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he is to be the husband of one wife." And I said, "That's just how it is." And I said, I don't have a right to change that. I don't have scripture that says, well, it says man, but it could mean anything. Okay? And by the way, I want to tell you this. Something that we feared 20 years ago is now almost totally in place. And that is the gender-neutral scriptures.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. Okay? 20 years ago, they tried it. And the backlash amongst evangelicals, okay, was so severe, they said, no, we can't do it. But I want to tell you, certain men will just keep creeping in unaware. And they've pushed this thing with the gender-neutral Bible, and they pat themselves on the back at the good translation effort that they have, and so much so that now the phrase "son of man," Gary, those two tracts that you brought me the other day from Sam Gipp, they're on my desk. Go get them. Okay, I'm going to show you how this thing is. I'm going to show you how subtle the devil is. I like the fact that the word subtle begins with an S. The serpent is subtle. Okay? This thing is so subtle. They've replaced the phrase "son of man." There are two gender words in that phrase: son and man. Are you with me? Okay? Son is masculine. Unless he plays with Barbies. Amen. Okay? Son is masculine, and man is masculine. Now they've replaced it with the human one. Human is gender neutral. One is gender neutral. That's who they've turned Jesus into. Okay? And there's a reason behind it. There was a list here. Okay, this is from the New King James Version of the Bible. Okay, the New King James Version. What is the New King James Version? The New King James Version had one goal in mind, and that is to get pastors and churches one step away from the King James Bible. Okay? That's all it takes. Is one step away. That's all it takes. If you're standing guard over a door, okay, and the enemy's trying to get through that door, you stand. Don't move. Amen? Don't move. Okay? But if the enemy distracts you and says, well, you know, you could still stand here and it'll be okay. And when you go over there, guess what? Okay? Anyway, here is just from the book of 1 Corinthians. Who is this? Sam Gipp? Came up with this from the New King James Version of the Bible. Exclusions of gender. And I won't give you all the quotations, but the King James says wise men, New King James says wise. The King James says man's wisdom, New King James says human wisdom. See what they did? Okay. Says no man, and the New King James says no one. The King James says every man, New King James says each one. Okay. No man to anyone, any man to anyone, every man's to each one. In 1 Corinthians 4:3, it says, King James says man's judgment. New King James says human court. Okay, every man to each one of men is completely deleted. In fact, look in your Bible. Somebody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, and I'll have you read that here in a minute. In 4:14, the Bible says, King James says sons. And the New King James says children. Big difference. Okay? Any man to anyone, every man to each one. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 7:36 says, of her age, and the New King James says, of youth. Okay? Over and over and over and over and over again. Here we go. Here's a good one. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, no man. The New King James says, no one. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, be men. New King James says, be mature. That is a big difference. You know what they did? They did not use the original text to translate. They could not have. They could not have used the original text. I almost guarantee, and I have a corrupt Greek version in my office. I almost guarantee you I could go in there and find, I know what the word man is in Greek. Okay? I know what it looks like and know how it's spelled in some cases. And I almost bet you I can find the word man in 1 Corinthians 14:20, but they've changed it to be mature. Okay? So what was that that we were looking at? 1 Corinthians what?
4:6.
Somebody read that verse. 1 Corinthians 4:6.
And these things, brethren, I have in figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written.
Okay, stop right there. Not to think of men that which is written. When you delete that, it says not to think that which was written. Now I'll get my New King James out and check it for to see that. But that phrase of men has been taken out. I don't know how they word it. That is a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay? They changed the standard, people. Amen? They changed the standard. Got them a little neutered Bible going. Let's see here. I know what I was dealing with now. This issue here of these four virgins in verse 9 of Acts chapter 21, the fact that they did prophesy. Okay? It does not say here that they were pastors. It does not say that they were bishops or bishopettes. Or pastorettes. Okay? It does not say that. It says they prophesied. This is based upon Joel chapter 2. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now let me ask you a question. What is the sure word of prophecy? The scriptures. Okay? Does a woman have the blessing, the ability, and the right to share scriptures with people? God just kind of hit me with that because we were out there with Mama Jo, Joetta Smith, who was out there working with those. She's an American missionary woman. And she had told me her testimony that morning. She said, I just kind of, you know, when I go to the market, I start talking to people. And, you know, if I can, I try to get, you know, get a Bible study going in their home. And we just sit around and we talk about the Bible. Okay? That's her prophesying. She's using Scripture and she's giving them the Word of God. That is, there's nothing biblically wrong with that.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
Okay? Listen, if God wanted you women to keep mouth shut, He would have put tape over your mouth. Amen. She said, how are we going to lead somebody to the Lord if we're not using Scripture? So prophesy, sister. Amen? Prophesy. But that is not an endorsement of either a woman pastor or number two or a woman in a church who stands up and says, Pastor, be quiet now. God's telling me something. That is not what that is. At that point, that woman in the church has subverted authority over the man. It's unbiblical. I want everybody out on the internet world to say amen to that. Okay? Because you know exactly what I'm talking about. Anyway, he had four virgins which prophesy. And verse 10, as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet from Agabus. When he's come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and he bound his hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Okay, now he's prophesying. And he's basically saying, he's saying what they said earlier. Paul, if you go down to Jerusalem, they're going to catch you. Okay? Now this was from the Lord. But here's what Paul, and when he heard these things, verse 12, both we and they of that, now I'll just point this out very quickly, where it says both we, that is Luke. He's now writing. He's part of the narrative. He was there. Okay? He's the author of this. And he is writing, he's saying, I was there when all this went down. Both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? Can I tell you something? A pastor's heart can be broken. Amen. A pastor's heart can be broken. And mine has been. And it's not easy. I like to be, when I get up here, I like to be Mr. Spiritual for everybody. Put this big smile on my face. How you doing, brother? Praise the Lord. Okay? God just made me weak in a lot of areas, and that's one of the weaknesses that I have. But I can't, if I'm broken, I cannot get up here and go, praise the Lord. Okay? I'd be down at the altar bawling my eyes out saying praise the Lord, but I can't put on a show for everybody, just make everybody feel good. I can't do it. Okay? Yeah, like that guy in college. How you doing, Jamie? Jesus, brother, I'm spreading his word. Woo! Man, I didn't like that guy. Anyway, he said, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? He's not mad at him. He's determined. Okay? He's determined. He said, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die. And I want to tell you something. You can't hurt a man like that. Amen? Amen. You cannot hurt. Listen, I want to tell you something. When you get sold out for Jesus, you can't hurt. Nobody can hurt you. Okay? They may try. You may have a broken heart. Okay? But Paul's not scared. He's not going, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't go down to Jerusalem. That's not what he's doing. He said, I'm ready to go down to Jerusalem to both be bound and to die. I'm ready. Okay? Paul had said later on, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm in a strait between the two. And he said, you know, Paul just, his whole ministry was, man, I'm ready to go. I want to go see Jesus. But if God has me tarry down here, then it's a blessing to everybody else. And that's where his heart was. It was always torn between wanting to serve and wanting to go home. Okay? That's how you know you're right with God. Somebody say amen. He said, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not for his own name. He wasn't trying to be a martyr. He wasn't trying to raise up followers after himself. He said, I'm going to do this for the Lord. And so verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. Catch that, all right? All they were doing was telling him, you know, if you go to Jerusalem, this is what's going to happen. And their emotions were tied into it, saying, Paul, please don't go. But Paul was saying, look, if God is going to carry me down there, and they bind me up hand and foot and they kill me, that's God's doing. That's the Lord's will. And I want to tell you something. Don't ever be afraid of the Lord's will. Don't ever be afraid of the Lord's will. Don't be afraid of what God's going to do in you. Okay? Unless you're backslid, then I'd be very, very afraid. Amen? So anyway, just get right with God. Verse 14, and when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple. I like old disciples. Amen. With whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them and declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. You see, the Jews need to know this. Paul went out, after the meeting, Paul went out and proved the work of the Lord through the Gentiles. And here's Gentiles being saved all over the place, and God's just cleaning up sin everywhere with these Gentiles, and churches are popping up just like mushrooms after rain. You see those mushrooms the other day, Sterling? Big old bad looking things. Hey, amen. I had to pull the boys out and say, guys, don't touch those mushrooms. Don't play with them and go, don't do that. Okay? Anyway, we got churches popping up everywhere. Now, Paul is coming back to Jerusalem and he's giving his report. He said, you need to understand that what we decided here was of the Holy Ghost, and here's the evidence. And he's telling them what's going on with all these churches and all these people being saved. And so anyway, verse 20, when they had heard it, they glorified the Lord. See, that's how you know your heart's right with God too. Amen? Okay, you're not jealous that other people are getting saved. Amen. You're not jealous that they ain't doing it like you're doing it, and this and that and the other. They glorify the Lord. They heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Okay, but they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Now the Jews are different here. Okay? Paul went to the Gentiles and he preached that to them. But here they had a report. Okay, they heard a rumor. Gotta be careful about them things. Amen. They heard a rumor that Paul was telling the Jews, quit that with that law, just cut that stuff out and don't do that. You don't have to worry about that. And so there's a little testing then. I don't have time to get into this. They're trying to see whether or not Paul's still a Jew. Okay? And when we get into this thing, you'll see that they're going to tell him, we got some guys over here separated with a Nazarite vial. Will you join them? And Paul did. Okay? Because what did Paul say? He said, to the Jew, I'm a Jew. Okay? To the Gentiles, I become all things to all men. And Paul was not going to lay a stumbling block in front of anybody for any reason for the gospel's sake. Okay? And we'll get into that and we'll talk about the Nazarite vow here probably next week. All right? Good to be here this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe in the human. No, I don't. I believe in the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. This is, well, I'll tell you what, that's just wicked. Amen. That's wicked to turn Jesus into a woman. Huh? Is that right? Yeah? Gender neutral. I'll tell you what, listen, the devil is a creep.
Amen.
And he'll creep in just about anywhere in the world. You ever wonder how mice get in your house? They need an opening about that big. It's all they need. Okay? I've seen them run under baseboards. Amen? Anyway, love you. Praise the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you, dear God, for the standard, the book, Lord, upon which we're all judged. God, I thank you, God, that you're not going to judge me by one standard and judge somebody else by another. God, that's not fair. It's not right. And Lord, I worship you and I serve you because God, you are right and you are fair. And the same judgment you're going to judge me by is the judgment you're going to judge somebody else by. God, you are no respecter of persons. Thank you, dear God, for this standard. Thank you, dear God, for this book and for your love and your mercy on us, dear God. Cleanse us and make us whole, Lord, dear God. Help us, Lord, to love your word and to love your law. And Father, Lord, as much as we're able, dear God, to obey and do what you said. And Father, Lord, grace is so good in our lives. And we thank you, dear God, for it. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Bless this morning's service, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen. Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life
that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved, but we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept His free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in His Word, and God has never broken His Word, God promised in His Word that He would forgive you and that He would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.